Let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to open the word to us this morning. Gracious God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're thankful for your presence here in our midst this morning. We ask you to come and make your word come alive to us this morning. I pray that our time together would be much more than an academic exercise. I pray that it would be much more than reading words and hearing lecture. I pray that you, Father, Son, by the Holy Spirit, would come alive in our hearts this morning as we gather around your word. I pray that this time as a community, sharing your word would be a time rich with the experience of the Godhead in our midst. We confess as a community that we desire to know you, God. Holy Spirit, will you come and reveal the Son to us as Jesus the Son reveals the Father? We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of John in chapter 14, starting in verse 7. I'll read from verse 7 to verse 10. This is the word of the Lord. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Then Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and still you do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. I love this passage. It's situated in a series of chapters in the Gospel of John, John chapter 13 through 17, where Jesus is with his disciples and they're gathered around a table in what we know to be the Last Supper. And everything contained in John chapter 13 through 17 is intimate, I would say. It's the kind of things that you would expect Jesus to share with his disciples in one of his last conversations with his disciples before going to the cross. It is full of the kind of things that you can imagine would be near and dear to Jesus' heart. And these few verses are contained inside of this section of scripture. And there's this beautiful interaction that we see. Jesus says in verse 7, if you know me, you will know the Father. And then he says, from now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Philip's response is kind of humorous, I think. Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. You know, you want to take Philip aside and say, buddy, did you just hear what Jesus said? You're missing it. But I find myself in this passage. I see myself in Philip. And I hope that maybe you can join me in recognizing that all of us are prone to having a sight problem at times when it comes to spiritual things. All of us are prone to having our eyes blinded from seeing God and seeing what God is up to in the world. Scripture tells us that our primary sickness, the primary sickness of the human person, is sin that leads to separation from God. It's sin that can lead to our eyes being blinded so we can't even see God and can't even see what he's up to. Now we know, scripture tells us, that Jesus took care of the physical separation that humans have from God. When Christ went to the cross, when he shed his blood, he reconciled us back to the Father. So there's no physical separation between us and the Father for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus took care of the sin that can separate us from God, but still there can be this awareness gap that keeps us from being aware of God in our midst. God can be right there, and we can be completely unaware of the way that he's wanting to meet us. Like Philip, we're free to see, know, and experience God, yet we often fail to experience fully this gift. We fail to experience it. I mean, think about the kinds of activities that fill our days. We can find ourselves busy from morning until night, our days filled with endless demands and distractions. And so even those of us who have been given the gift of the Spirit, which we talked about last week, those of us who've been united with Christ through his blood, we can suffer from this awareness problem. We can suffer from distraction that keeps us from seeing and knowing God. We can fail to see what's right in front of us because we have not trained ourselves to see. In our text this morning, Philip was suffering from an awareness problem or from a sight problem. Jesus had just said, "If you know me, you will know the Father also." Jesus said, "From now on, you do know him and you've seen him." And then Philip, I love his boldness. I love that he was the one willing to raise his hand and say, I don't get it. I don't feel like I'm seeing the Father. And so Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." Jesus had just said, "Hey guys, if you're seeing me, you're seeing the Father." And Philip says, no, show us the Father. Show us something spectacular. Show us something that's going to blow our minds. I can imagine that maybe Philip was thinking about Moses on the mountaintop or Moses in the tent of meeting. I don't know if you're familiar with the text in Exodus. Between Exodus chapter 30 and 34, Moses is having this encounter with God, and we find that when Moses would come out of meeting with God and he would go and be among the people, his face was radiant. It was shining. The glory of the Lord lingered on the face of Moses after Moses met face to face with God. And I bet Philip was like, "That's what it's like to see the Father. You come out with a face shining. You come out with a face glowing. Jesus, you're dusty. You look like me. You look like a human. I can understand, Jesus, that you're the Son of God, but show me the Father. Blow my mind. Show me something spectacular." Personally, I don't fault Philip for making that request at all. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in a spot where you said, "Jesus, if only you could be here in person. Like, if only you could sit right beside me and I can just talk to you face to face the way I talk to somebody else. That would be amazing. That would be perfect. That would be it." There's something inside of us that longs for God to be revealed in a way that is perfectly powerful and tangible. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are working together in unity to reveal the Father to us. I just knocked my water over. But sometimes the way that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit reveal the Godhead to us is in a very simple way, a very earthy way. Here Jesus is in our text. He's fully God, living in a human body. Is there anything more spectacular and mind-blowing than that? That God himself, the creator of the universe, would come and make his home inside of a human body. That's spectacular. But it's also like having the glory of God shrouded inside of an earthen vessel. It's spectacular, but it's also ordinary. And I can see Philip wrestling with this question. How could a God as powerful and as spectacular as the God I know, how could he choose to interact with anything that's ordinary? How could a God so extraordinary have anything to do with the ordinary? And Jesus is right there in living form saying, the God of the universe can enter into and engage with the ordinary. God can be revealed in the ordinary. Jesus said to Philip, "Have I been with you all this time and you haven't seen the glory of the Lord seeping out of all of my ordinariness? Did you miss the miracles? Did you miss the love emanating and radiating from my person? Philip, haven't you seen that my character and my nature is just like the character of the Father? Every interaction that Philip had had with Jesus, as ordinary as it was an opportunity for Philip to experience the nature of the Father. But Philip, like us, needed eyes to see. Needed an awareness to see that God was at work so close to him and in beautiful ways, if only he had eyes to see it. I wonder how many ordinary interactions you and I have on a daily basis where if only we had eyes to see, we might experience the Father. How many opportunities do we miss where our eyes are so focused on all of the things that we have to do and all of the important things that we have to accomplish, and we're so focused on the mundane, the day-to-day, and we miss the fact that there is the beautiful, radiant creator of the universe who is wanting to make our hearts come alive as he reveals himself in very little ways in the midst of our ordinary everyday. We can miss it if we don't have eyes to see. We need present moment awareness to see God embodied in the everyday. Let me say that again. We just need simple present moment awareness to see God embodied in the everyday. Philip wanted to see God, but he was blinded because he was looking for the spectacular. And he missed the most spectacular truth of all. That the Father can come and meet us powerfully in what seems to be very ordinary moments. When I think about developing this kind of sight, I think about Sherlock Holmes. It's amazing. Every generation represented in this room knows Sherlock Holmes and has interacted with this amazing character probably in different ways. My wife Laura and I have been watching I think it's on BBC. It's a series called Sherlock, and it's like the most modern recreation of the Sherlock Holmes character. But Sherlock is amazing. I mean, you can't help but love this guy and kind of be annoyed at him at the same time because he sees all of the things that nobody else sees. He walks into a crime scene that Scotland Yard, all of their best detectives, have already combed through. And they can't make sense of it. They can't see what's going on. And then Sherlock Holmes walks in, and in 5 or 10 minutes, he has seen everything that they've missed. He's noticed all of these little clues that nobody else noticed. Why? Because somehow Sherlock Holmes had trained himself to see. He trained himself to be aware of that which nobody else was aware of. And so a little footprint here could tell him an entire story. Or a wrinkle in a piece of fabric could lead him down a trail of other clues. He had awareness to see what nobody else could see. He'd learned to shut out other distractions. He'd learned to peer past outward appearances and first impressions to see that which was important. And I believe that this is something that the people of God need. I think that we need a Sherlock Holmes kind of ability to see that which is truly important in our days. The world sends us so many messages about what's important. But I believe that we need to be able to see what's really important, peering beneath the ordinary, to see that ordinary moments are pregnant with the Spirit. Ordinary moments are full of rich opportunity to see God at work. Ordinary moments are full of opportunities to experience Christ's love, to experience his direction, his guidance, even his correction. And they're even rich with opportunities to express the glory of God to other people. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, in a remarkable poet, says, "Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush is afire with God. But only he who takes off his shoes notices. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries." I love that. Earth is crammed with heaven. Every common bush, every common blackberry bush is afire with God. But only he who takes off his shoes can notice. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries. That's an invitation to us to find that God is in the ordinary. But we have to notice and take off our shoes and take a simple moment to say, I think the Spirit of God is right here, right now, and I'm going to take notes, and I'm going to wrap up and celebrate this moment in my heart. Thomas Dubay shares a similar sentiment in his book titled The Evidential Power of Beauty, which is a book I can highly recommend. Dubay is a Catholic priest and a fantastic author. And in his book, The Evidential Power of Beauty, he calls us to come alive to the face of God shining in the ordinary. I want to read a segment from his book. It's just a paragraph, but he writes this. While jet planes are marvelous accomplishments of human ingenuity, compared to the flying skills of any bird, they're clumsy in the extreme. The jetliner needs 2 or 3 miles of runway to take off and land safely, whereas the bird can be airborne in a few inches, even immediately with a tiny jump. And it can land with unerring accuracy, complete safety, and elegant grace on a quarter-inch twig. Even more awesome is the technology involved in the ability of the bird to instantaneously reverse its position on a quarter-inch twig. At 180 degrees, in a sudden unerring jump, the bird turns around. This must be called stunning as well as thrilling for those who see what is before them. Billions of other examples surround us. We should notice them. I love these two authors. Their ability to see something as normal as a bird and to say, that speaks of the divine. More often, I am likely to be at the airport and see jets taking off and think, wow, look at what we've accomplished. 100 years ago, nothing like this would have seemed imaginable. Look at what we have accomplished. And instead, Dubay says, yeah, but we've got nothing on what the Creator has done. Look at the magnificence of his design. And what would it do for our hearts? Our hearts that are supposed to worship, our hearts that are supposed to be captivated, what would it do for our hearts if we stopped and noticed the divine, the Creator? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all engaged in a divine mission to reveal their fullness to us. And that certainly can and does lead to spectacular shows of divine power and grace. But God revealing himself also involves the glory of God revealed in the ordinary, in a blackberry bush, in a bird. All of these things can point us to him if we have eyes to see. So often, God clothes himself in the ordinary. And to see him, we must learn to be attentive to him wrapped in the ordinary. So all of this may sound well and good, but how do we do it? Like, what are some steps to begin stepping into positioning our hearts for this? I believe that there are a few very simple steps that we can take. The first one is becoming present to the present. Like, just becoming present to this moment and what is going on around us. The way I've begun to do this is in the morning, taking a 5 to 10 minute walk outside of my apartment. I live on the seminary campus, and so I'll walk out down the sidewalk to the prayer garden that's just down the sidewalk from me, 5 or 10 minutes, but I walk so slowly, which is amazing for me because I have really, really long legs and I'm prone to walk very, very quickly, just rapidly getting from one place to another. But I stop and I take the tiniest steps and I just look around and I notice leaves and I notice what the sunlight feels like on my face and I notice if the wind is blowing or if it's still. I just take time to note what's going on around me and I take time to note that the Spirit of God is present with me. I just become aware. And in becoming aware of that moment, I start to position my heart to be aware of what's going on around me in other moments. Jesus can invade any ordinary moment if we have eyes to see. And so in a few simple practices throughout the day, we can slow ourselves down to what's going on so that we can grow in awareness. So the first idea I have is becoming present to the present. The second one is returning regularly to the presence of God. Our days are full. Distraction comes. We can find ourselves frantic with activity and with crises and with things that we need to accomplish. And so when I find myself particularly hustled, one of the things I've been attempting to do is to take a moment alone, wherever I can find it, close my eyes, and take a few deep breaths. Just become aware of my breath and become aware of the fact that the Spirit of God is holding me together and giving me breath. Jesus, you're here right now. And thanking him for that fact. And in doing that, I feel like I become more aware of the Spirit of God wanting to interrupt my day in other glorious ways. Another key is building up a history of moments like this. Yesterday, I was talking to a friend, and she told me a story about a time where God really ministered to her through a particular song. And now, whenever she hears that particular song, she's brought right back into that same place with the Spirit of God where she remembers the faithfulness and the goodness of God. She has a history of these moments, ordinary moments, where the Spirit of God broke in and revealed God to her. And so now, other moments can attach themselves to those past moments. So every time that particular song plays or someone reminds her of it, she's right back in the presence of God. And that can happen to any of us. As we move towards a close, I want to take you to one more text, one more passage of Scripture that's connected to the one in John chapter 14. This passage is in John chapter 17, and it's at the very end of those series of chapters that I've talked about, John chapter 13 to John chapter 17. So it's still in this same section of Scripture, and I believe that this passage connects to our passage in John chapter 14. I'll be reading from John chapter 17, starting in verse 20 and reading to verse 24. Jesus is praying a prayer to the Father, and it sounds like this. Jesus prays, "As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us." I'm going to continue reading, but I want to pause there. In John 14, Jesus had just been telling Philip, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And now he takes it one step further. And Jesus prays, not only, "Father, thank you that I am in you and you are in me," but Jesus says, "May they also be in us." Like, let's take this one step further. This isn't just about Jesus revealing the Father. It's about us, the community of God's people, being brought perfectly into fellowship with the Godhead. "As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given to me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundations of the world." Even beyond seeing God, God's ultimate desire is that we might be one with him now and forever. Even though this isn't in the John 17 text, I picture Jesus turning to Philip at this moment in this prayer and saying, not only am I one with the Father, Philip, not only is he in me and I am in him, but Philip, I am making a way for you to be in us, with us, brought into the divine community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You, Philip, can be one with the Trinity, one with the triune God. God's ultimate plan is to fully unite the ordinary of who we are with the extraordinary of who he is. We have a God who reveals himself in ordinary ways, and we have a God who desires to be united with us. As ordinary as we are, that Christ would come and fill more of us, that he would come and fill all of us, and that as we grow in awareness of how he's moving and working in the ordinary, all of our days, all of our ordinary moments, even all of us, all of ourselves can be full of the divine beauty and presence as we grow in awareness and make space for it. I mentioned earlier that today on the church calendar is Trinity Sunday. The Trinity is a picture of the community of God, the fact that God is relational inside of himself. He's one, but somehow he's a community. And he invites us to enter into the beauty of that divine community. May we grow in awareness of God in the ordinary. I want to invite you to close your eyes now for a moment of reflection. And if you'll allow me, I just want to guide you for a little bit in this moment of reflection. As Alan plays, I want to invite you into a brief moment of thankfulness, saying, thank you, God, that you can meet me in the ordinary. Thank you, God, that you can meet me in the ordinary. Then I want to invite you to ask the Spirit of God to remind you of a moment where God was near to you. Maybe it was in the hug of a friend. Maybe it was in the smile of a child. Maybe it was just in the experience of sunshine on your face. And I just want to invite you now to open up this space, this brief moment that we have together. Open up this ordinary moment to be a moment where together we can experience the touch of God's presence. Holy Spirit, come. Remind us that you are closer than our breath. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray for this fellowship gathered, for this congregation. I pray for us as a body of believers that we may experience you drawing us into divine fellowship. I pray that we would learn to see and experience you, God, in ordinary bushes that are aflame with God and in ordinary human faces that are radiant with your glory. I pray that you would give us divine sight. I pray that you would pour out upon us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that opens up our eyes to see the glory of Jesus revealed in ordinary ways. Give us divine sight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.